Hello, welcome to the Cosmic Eye Podcast. This is our spirit work show. I am Jason, and we have our lovely friends, Angel and Joda here, at Angel on the Eighth Day and at AS Zero Trance. Are you laughing? Are you laughing over my enthusiastic and friendly?
Yeah, it's like friendly and our friends.
Our lovely friends. Our great
friends. Angel.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's very windy and it's getting cold.
It is.
You guys got the wind?
Yeah. I don't know if it's super windy. It's breezy.
It's breezy, but not extremely windy now. But I love that it's like cloudy. I think like the high is gonna be 65 today, and I'm like, yes.
Oh man, nice. Moving into cold, gloomy-ish weather.
Well, which, that's like my favorite
That seems to agree with you, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can wear coats and sweaters. It's always nice to be able to break out the heavier clothing.
Totally. And especially now that I have access to Angel's 19 closets, he has the coolest coats.
Oh man, I think I saw a picture of you guys. I saw a picture of you guys at the Elton John concert. I want to hear about that in a second. But I like both your outfits. You guys look great.
Oh, thank you.
I styled us.
I really is that true?
I think judging by the laugh, we already know that.
Exactly. So how did it? So it was good.
Yes. We thought that we were not going to make it because I didn't. We didn't leave my office until like 7. I still worked yesterday, and then getting there. It was fine. It's just when you get, I think, like a mile away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That last mile took like longer than the whole entire drive there.
We were waiting to get to because we had to like pay for the parking like in a specific lot.
Yeah.
We were waiting to get in there for, I would say, an easy like 30, 35 minutes. Yeah. I mean, it was no joke. Man.
That is no good.
But so, like outside of that, it was amazing. I just recently discovered who Elton John is. So I actually really enjoyed it. I like a lot of his songs, and it was just fun to be able to experience that with Angel too.
Very nice.
And by that, you mean like you just put two and two together.
Right. So like I've heard some of his songs, but like I never really knew who he was. So then when I asked Angel to send me a couple of like his favorite songs prior to the concert, just so I can kind of get familiarized, I was like, I actually know some of these.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I haven't been living under a rock.
you just
a pebble.
Place the name with the songs.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all it was.
Unlike the Scorpio, you do not live under a rock.
What an interesting segue that was.
Right? I know. Zodiac puns.
Wow, I love it. I love it. So yeah, right. So this is our second little installment. We're gonna go a bit into the type two Scorpio this week. We talked about type one last week and did kind of an overview, a quick overview. And then we're gonna talk more about that birth chart. And I'm actually excited about that. I wanna hear more about that. I wanna tell you guys a couple of things. I dug my birth chart out. Do you guys have yours done?
I think so. I have like a whole rising, it's like long.
I've had it done, but I don't have the chart anymore. This is like way back when I was in high school. But I ordered this, I think we talked about it maybe like a month ago on this podcast, that like really cool book I told you about that like pretty much lays out, like it'll even say who your fatal attractions are and list their specific birthday, but it like dives into your day. It just like immensely. It goes over how you are with finances, family, friendships, relationships, things you'll struggle with in life. And it even like mentions like certain like years, like so it would say like at the age of 44, this certain event will start to happen, and then I'll kind of change your perspective on this. So I ordered that, and it's gonna be here next Sunday. So I think that'll be kind of fun to dive into that too in future podcasts.
That's super cool. Does it have like when your Saturn returns and all that?
I think so. So it's a book I had back when I was in high school. And I want to say it did. It's such a cool book, but it's, like I said, it's not going to be here till Sunday. So we'll find out the mysteries of the book together.
I was going to say, let's just keep that under wraps and we'll find out the mysteries of the book as we go along. I haven't even heard of a book. All right. So super cool. Did you ever use that website? I think they changed it. I think now it's called astro.com, but it was back in the day. I feel like it was like 10, 15 years ago. Like, obviously you would have been a kid, but it was like, I think it was Astro Dienst or Astro Dienst. Do you remember this site? It's like one of the original really in-depth astrology websites. It is actually a German site, but it was, there was a version in German and a German and an English version as well. Did you ever run across that site?
I actually haven't. I've never even heard of that.
They may not even be around anymore, but they were like, they were super detailed, and they did free birth. That's where my birth chart was actually done through. They did these really elaborate free birth charts with like everything.
Really?
Yeah, it was super cool.
For free?
Yes. Wow. Yes. So that's what I'm saying. It probably is not in business anymore. That was back in the day when they're, you know, when they were giving stuff away on the internet to try to entice people to, you know, come there. And then suddenly we figured out that it wasn't a good business model to give everything away.
Yeah, exactly.
What an amazing surprise, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, enough of that. So let's see, what are we going to get into? So the concert, let's get back to that really quickly, just because I'm a huge Elton John fan. He is Sir Elton John, isn't he?
Yes. I feel like everybody's a sir.
Everyone is a sir now. That is true. It's a pretty, especially the big stars. That's pretty, it's pretty standard. But I'm assuming that he played all the hits.
And yes.
Normal. Yeah. When I saw him, I'm sure you guys, well, I don't know. Again, Joda probably was kind of surprised too. It's like you forget like how many hits he had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until he just like, he's playing for like an hour and a half straight. And you're like, I know that song.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's how I felt. I was like,
I've heard this. And it's wild because you kind of don't really always remember all of those songs, but then you start hearing them in order and you're like, good Lord, this guy's been making hits since the 70s. So
I can't believe he's 75 years old. Like that's insane. I mean, just the fact that he can still play the piano the way he does and his voice, I love his voice.
It's fantastic. He sounded great when we saw him, and that was just a few years ago as well. His voice is still really strong, huh?
Oh, yes. Where did you see him at?
Caesar's Palace.
Oh, you saw, that's right, the Red Piano Show.
Yeah, exactly.
So I bet that was fun.
It was
cool. I'll have to show you the photo that I have. It's you know when he plays Bitches Back?
Yeah.
We talked about it, I think, last week, where he lets people up on the audience, and I was on the up there right next to the piano, and then there's like this it's like a two-page photo, mm-hmm. that is in the introduction to his article on Us Weekly or Us Magazine. Okay. And I'm like the only kind of clear face that you can see.
Really?
From out of here. Seriously? Yeah.
Show me that. You've never shown me that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's in one of the archive things that are probably in storage now.
Oh man. So I was gonna say you need to post that on your Instagram if you ever find it. So yet another reason follow Angel at Angel on the Eighth Day on Instagram to see those cool updates. And also, you guys are both in those photos. You look, like I said, you look great in those.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And follow Joda as well.
Have you ever listened to the live from Australia Opera House or something like that album?
No, I haven't heard that one. Huh.
I have to send it to you. He sent it to me. It is so beautiful. Just the strings that accompany his voice with the piano. It's amazing.
I believe like a symphony orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, like, so there's a bass backed by a symphony then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. Okay.
I think it was like right before he had to have surgery for nodes in his vocal cords.
Oh, God. Okay.
So his voice is like really like gravelly and like raw. It's awesome.
That is super cool. I want to hear this. Okay, so I will look for that. So do you think this is really it, or do you think this is
I don't know. He played up the fact that this was his last Las Vegas show a lot.
Yeah, like a lot.
He kept saying that over and over, like how he's gonna miss everyone,
how many times he's played in Vegas. Yeah, and that, like, this is truly it,
that Vegas was like his the city that he's played the most in.
That's interesting.
because of the, I think because of his residence.
Yeah, he had a residency.
The residencies, exactly. He did, I'm sure he did amazingly well with those. I mean, it was like, it was after, I think he was the biggest star that they ever, probably ever had there, honestly.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, didn't Celine start that whole thing?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But
another one, yeah.
But Celine and Elton John are not in the same category to me. She's like a 90s phenomenon, and he has like multiple decades phenomenon.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it is his last show, just given his age, and like he really kind of like emphasized the fact that he just wants to spend like the duration of his life with his family.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That does make sense. I mean, it would get tiring to be on the road, and I'm sure Angel, you can attest to that, spending five years on the road.
Six, so, yeah.
It's a good girl. So there
and they have kids now. Him and David, I think, have like at least two kids.
I think that's what you were saying, yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Well, they're pretty young, the kids. So
that's what he was saying. He's like, I want to be able to enjoy the duration of my life with my young family. I remember him saying that.
That makes sense. I mean, you got that. I'm sure that like touring all that time just totally wipes you out. And then you're probably like just sleeping and, you know what I mean?
Hanging out
when you're at home, just trying to recover instead of like, you know, really enjoying quality time. So that makes a lot of sense. So, all right. Well, that's pretty cool. You guys witnessed history.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I think this was my fifth time seeing him, but yeah, it was at the Allegiant Stadium. So that's where they have like the Raiders football team at.
Yeah.
It was packed.
Massively packed.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was up to the brim. Like there was no, well, I lied. There was two rows in front of us and I don't know what happened to those people, but there was like, you could not really see any empty seats.
No, the entire place was packed. I'm like, and I told Angel, I was like, that's when you know you're a success, when you can completely pack a stadium on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, for real. I mean, and also pack a stadium at that age and pack a stadium after you've already had like a 50 plus year career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the demographic for the most part was what you would expect. Yeah. But then right next to us was this young person, and they were just, I don't know, maybe like a teenager?
I would say 14, maybe.
Yeah, and they were singing like every single song.
That's awesome.
That's what I was just going to say. I mean, yeah, it was majority, I would say, like older generation, but it was really cool to see that there was also a lot of younger people there, too. So like that really does show that his music is like really carried through generations. Yeah, exactly.
Love it. All right. Well, thank you guys for sharing that. All right. So let's jump in then to a bit of Scorpio. So this is our Scorpio type 2.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. And then we're going to talk a bit about that birth chart and then we'll wrap it up. So let's hear some of that. I know you guys have prepared some great stuff.
Yeah, Scorpio Decan 2 is from November 2nd to November 11th. The second Decan Scorpio, or the middle 10 days, are the days of soft natives, since they are inspired by Jupiter, who bestows certain Pisces characteristics on Scorpio natives.
Did you say soft natives?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Interesting.
What does it even mean?
Soft.
Like as opposed to a hard native?
Yeah. maybe because it's in the middle between the first.
Oh, first, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's a little malleable, maybe.
Yeah. More like tempered.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
It's okay.
The people of this part will have a lot of sensitive depths inside them that they will never let display. And as a result, they must be taken care of with great care. The personalities of Scorpio Decan 2 emerge from their enclosure. Since you are so dedicated and trustworthy in relationships, your close friends and family are said to be very fortunate in life. You'd move mountains to save them. However, once you discover that they are not trustworthy, you will go to the extreme lengths to take vengeance.
Do you want me to read the next one?
If you want to.
Destroy them.
What? Yeah, exactly. There's that Scorpio, what is that? Scorn, or that?
Yeah.
Prick.
Yeah.
what is that? Sting. Yeah. Scorpio
Sting. Words, what are they?
The Scorpio Sting, I think, is maybe a little more appropriate than prick. But hey, you know.
And it also is whatever that thing is where you start something with the same consonant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. What is that?
Alliteration?
Alliteration.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay. The significant sub-influence of this Pisces/Neptune decan will cause plenty of fascinating differences. Pisces softens and refines both facial characteristics and personalities. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Although you do have the goodwill, resolving power, and motivation that anyone with Scorpio rising possesses, you are less likely to come on strong as strong as others. Perhaps the old adage of walking quietly but holding a huge stick is your motto for having what you want in daily life. Neptune, the planet of sensitivity, joins forces with Mars, the ruler of Scorpio decan 2, to amplify the motivating, optimistic personality. Scorpio is deep, focused, and highly charged, while Pisces is dreamy. Scorpio Pisces are deeply preoccupied with Mars and Neptune's combined influences, planning their meticulous road to fame and riches. The added Pisces has adopted an egalitarian stance toward all humanity, which takes them back to the need for companionship. The Scorpio Pisces breed has the ability to tap into certain rare wavelengths. Their innate sensitive powers will take them straight to their goal.
So do any of you know?
Yes.
Do you feel like that fits pretty well?
I think so, especially the sensitivity and companionship part.
Yeah.
The people that I'm thinking about have actually the same birthday.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I do have known a couple people who are the Scorpio second decan. And I will say, yeah, they are certainly very family driven. I would say a little bit more emotional than like the other two decans of Scorpio. But yeah, I feel like this fits pretty well.
Yeah, definitely family driven. And then both of the individuals that I'm thinking about have this particular way of pursuing relationships where they want the person to, I don't want to say like depend on them, but like rely on them for a certain, but then they also want them to be independent. And I'm like, well, you're kind of yo-yoing this individual, you know, like you can't have both. It's like, okay. Rely on me. But then when they come dependent, I guess, then that's when they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
that's going to send people straight to Angel's office.
Exactly. That push pull there kind of.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. I think a lot of the water signs kind of have some of that trait to them in general. It's that kind of quality, that very emotional quality, but this kind of push-pull kind of, I want you to need me, but I don't want you to be dependent on me. I want you to be independent, but I also want you to be, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a strange, like a seesaw or something almost.
Right.
I think that's one of the things about when you're, you know, if you're kind of the more emotional or more fiery or water type signs versus maybe air signs and earth signs that are a little more kind of grounded. It's like you sort of, and air signs are kind of more intellectual and try to like work things out and find those balances. But I feel like that's kind of one of the things that, you know, can be challenging for water signs and fire signs. They're a little more passionate, a little more kind of fiery and emotional and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So but the thing is, the good thing about it is, you know, there's like we said, that passion, that energy, that creativity, that ability to lead and to be really dynamic and kind of how can I say this? Like inspiring to people and kind of magnetic, have that magnetic personality.
So yeah.
I feel like that comes a lot with water signs and fire signs. Yeah, so interesting. So that's the second decan. So yeah. Anything else on that you guys want to share? Or should we jump into the chart a little bit?
I don't think. I think in terms of Scorpio, what was I? Yeah, both of the people that I know are pretty charming. There's like a bald head in my front door. Hold on 1 second.
All right.
Take it away.
Hi.
I love that. Joda, take it away. No pressure or anything. Just jump in and start talking about the two people Angel knows. That'll be right.
So I think with this kind of like going into it, there's just so much that's going to be attached to this, but I kind of feel like we can at least break down the basics so that when somebody does view this, they can kind of at least grasp a little bit of it and say, okay, now, you know, I know exactly where I'm at. This is, you know, I'm a seven of swords and this is what that means. So I think we could at least kind of go into that. I think that this is really going to be something that like each podcast we have, we can just kind of slowly dive into it more and slowly educate people. So it's not overly like overwhelming.
Yeah. Perfect. And then like, I think I've talked about this before, but I'm going to put up the, this chart that Joda put together. I put it up before, but I'll put a link to it again. It's on the Cosmic Eye website. And so you can check the description, or you can just go directly to cosmiceye.org and you can go to the podcast and the link is there. So, that's right there as well. If you don't want to look for it, for the link. So, all right. So here's the thing. Maybe we could touch on, if you think there's time, just a quick overview of the 12 houses and what each of them is connected to. I mean, do you have that kind of overview type info like in front of you, or is that something beyond kind of like what you wanted to talk about?
I mean, we can go into that because I kind of think that that's what a lot of people kind of question, because it does kind of sound like unfamiliar, like when you are talking about it.
Yeah. If you're not looking at the chart, just kind of imagine there's this wheel and there's 12 sections to it. And then each of those 12 sections is broken down into three for each of the sub decans, right, of that particular sign.
Yeah.
And then, but the main thing with that is those 12 houses are actually connected to different parts of your life, right?
Yeah, correct. And they go counterclockwise on the actual the graph that I had sent you on there.
Yeah.
And then that's when they're divided into 12 segments. So when you're referring to the houses, it's just referring to almost kind of like the pie chart that you're seeing within the chart itself.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, if you feel like it's not, you know, too much to cover, maybe just touch on like what like 1 through 12, like what each of those departments is in your life.
So it kind of is broken down pretty interesting. So I actually have something here pulled up. So like, for instance, let me pull up this one real quick here. So this is one. So the first one is actually going to be starting with Aries. So where it says like Aries, and it has, I believe it's the wands 4, 3, and 2.
Okay.
So that's actually going to be house number one. And then it goes counterclockwise. So then to the right of it would be number two, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So people that are born within the first house within that, the graph itself, are generally known to, this is kind of like the things that are attached with them, is they're a little bit more self-centered. They're concerned with their appearances, new beginnings, concerned about their body. First impressions mean a lot. Attitude, their identity means a lot, and how they just approach life. So that would fall under, so Aries would be considered the first house of the zodiac.
Okay.
So then like the second one that Taurus. Would that be Taurus? Let me see here. Okay. Is it? Yeah. Taurus. Okay. Just making sure. So Taurus then would be, of course, every Taurus I know is very focused on money. So money, work, income, their daily routines. They definitely like some type of like structure. Their values mean a lot to them, their material possessions, priorities, their habits. And Tauruses generally tend to go after very specific jobs and are very concerned with their work ethic and how like other people perceive them within that. Tauruses are very concerned with how other people see them. So that 100% fits them in terms of like how they view money, their work, their life, you know, material possessions and things like that.
Interesting. Okay.
So then the third one would be Gemini. Okay. So the Gemini, of course, the twins, they're more so focused with their mind and thinking, their communications, their social activities and interest, and early education. So they Gemini's is quote unquote crazy as people tend to make them out to be. they do have a high level of intelligence. And I think it has a lot to do with that ability to kind of like the twins. It's almost like you have a twin that's viewing things internally and a twin that's viewing things externally. So the two are kind of experiencing life in two different focuses, allowing them to create a very strong perception or view or opinion on what it is that they're going to discuss, just because they have that internal reflection and the outward reflection. So they can kind of combine the two and really like dive into that. So that's why they're really known for their communication. Geminis tend to be a little bit more social. They're pretty funny. And usually, you know, humor does come with intelligence.
Makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
So then the next, Cancer. So the next one is the fourth one. And of course, Cancer being a lot more sensitive and much more in tune with their emotions, they have a lot more to do with their home, the roots that they have within their family, self-care, their emotional foundations. And like I said, they're very, very concerned with like their family. So, you know, close intermediate family, meaning like mother, father, sister, sibling, et cetera, et cetera. So the crab is, you know, very tough on the outside, but very mushy on the inside. So all those things, their emotions are just constantly inside of them. So that's why things like their family and things like that mean a whole lot to them, because they hold all of that within them. And yeah, they use like their quote unquote shell to protect those things.
Perfect. So that was four, right? So yeah. So we're moving around the houses into five.
Yeah.
And we got Leo. So we got romance, we got love, we got play, creativity, childlike spirit, joy, self-expression, that is, and drama. I wasn't going to say that one, but I feel like we need to.
Come on.
That totally fits. I mean, just not just knowing Angel, but I've had a few different Leos in my life, like friends and stuff, and they are all like hugely passionate in the ways that they approach their relationships with people, whether that's a friendship, a family member, or a relationship. They go into it with all of their heart. But they're also being the lion. If you are to betray them or do anything to hurt them, they're very quick to turn on you. And that's that defense of like protection of themselves, because it's like they feel, I've put all of this out there, and how dare you hurt me? Now you're going to get the worst of me.
None of it.
Yeah.
So you that can attest, you can attest to that, can't you? Yeah.
I feel like the worst thing that can happen, like especially with Angel, is like it's not like he'll ever react to something. Like if you were to do something that upset him, he's not going to react, but you just will notice that he's no longer there.
He put it in one show. I don't remember if I heard this one, where he takes
his light will no longer be on.
Yeah,
and that's so true. Yeah,
exactly. All right, so Leo, and then what is it after that? C.
Virgo.
There we go. Yeah.
So Virgo, they are primarily concerned with their health, fitness, analytical nature, pets, work habits, organization, sense of usefulness, and services given. That I feel like definitely fits with the Virgo. I feel like they're very analytical in the way that they approach a lot of things. They tend to be very obsessive over like organization. And that doesn't necessarily mean like OCD. They could be like an organized chaos, but everything has to be a specific way for a Virgo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't actually have a whole lot of Virgos in my life. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that kind of fits? Like,
yeah, I think so. Definitely the analytical part.
For sure.
Pets.
Yes.
Their kind of like work habits. The kind of this sense of having some sort of like use or purpose. And then it also says it mentioned something about systems, and I believe that that's true. Things that are usually kind of not, I wouldn't say focused, but there's an emphasis on how they relate to others and others relate to them.
Interesting. Like, you know, a group dynamic, group dynamic kind of setup.
Yes. Like friendships and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
what's their place in it? What's the role, and what's the role of others?
One thing I can say, and once Angel had mentioned that, pets, of the few Virgos I've known in my life, and this is, you know, this is purely just observation, I feel like pets and that relationship with them is very strong, because Virgos tend to, because of them being so analytical, have a harder time I guess, building relationships with humans, essentially. It's just harder for them to communicate just because they tend to be a little bit more in their mind. But that doesn't mean like they are hard to be friends with or anything. I mean, once you're friends with the Virgo, you're set. But I think that that relationship with pets, because there's that lack of judgment and that immediate love and acceptance from that pet, that's why Virgos tend to gravitate towards, they usually will have like a lot of exotic animals or, you know, like a dog or a cat, something of that sort, but they tend to have extreme bonds with those animals because I feel like it's their way of expressing those things they have a harder time doing with people.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. There's that connection to that. It's almost like with animals, there's a sort of an unconditional love. There's no, you know, there's no complications with it. It's it's very instinctual and just kind of,
the minute a puppy opens their eyes, they immediately want to just jump all over you. And it's like, more, I guess it just like is the most elated feeling when, like, for instance, you know, prior to my dog's passing, I would go to the gas station in the morning right before work and get a soda. Mm. The gas station was 5 minutes away. I'd be gone for maybe a total of 15 minutes, given I had a stoplight. I would come home and he would just be so excited that I was there. And it's like, nothing can make you feel more loved than being gone for 15 minutes. And then there's your companion just like, I am so glad you're back.
Thank God you're here. You'd be like, you just saw me 15 minutes ago. It doesn't matter. It could be 15 minutes. It could be 15 years. I'm just as excited. That is a beautiful thing. It really is. All right. So after Virgo, so what are we on, six now? After Virgo?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Seven. Yep.
Seven. Yeah.
Yep. And then this is for Libra, correct?
Yeah.
So Libra, relationships, marriage, contracts, business partners, equality, sharing, and interpersonal style. That I feel definitely fits. They are the scale. So obviously they're constantly trying to balance multiple things within their life. And I know quite a few different Libras, and they are always trying to balance the relationships that they have within their work life, within their friend circle, within any type of dynamic they may have with another individual. They're always trying to like level things out. They're always that person that if there's an issue within that relationship, they're trying to like work it out so that the scales can then continue to balance.
Yeah, I feel like they're mediators a lot of times between.
They tend to have a little bit more of a calm approach to things. So they're not really extremely aggressive or assertive, but they are, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the one zodiac sign that's pretty much compatible with every sign.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense. Interesting. I love it. Okay, so
that's Scorpio. And already the second one, I'm just like, yep, that fits. Okay, so number we got, eight. Yep, merging sex, intimacy, shared finances, inheritance, taxes, loans, assets, property, joint ventures, goals, mystery, and partner resources. Yes, Scorpios are very sexually driven. But they are also very intimate. So I think that although like, you know, sex is, or, you know, that intimate connection for them means a great deal, they're also very intimate with that. So it's not like it's just like a hit it, quit it constantly. It's they generally love to share that deep passion with somebody. So yes, sex is a huge thing for them, but in a very passionate way.
Their heart's still involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say so. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that, I think, last week, right? With the ruling planets, Pluto was the Mars. Kind of like the harder exterior, Mars was more of like the gooey, warm inside.
No, I think it was reverse, because I remember telling you that like on Pluto itself, it has a lava plane that looks like a heart. So I was almost saying that was like the internal emotion of it.
Was it? Yeah, I think that was it. I think you're. Yeah. I think that was it, because Mars has that kind of like warrior kind of rough
energy. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's dusty. It's dead. So you know, I kind of feel like Mars being that way has a very hard exterior and doesn't really have much to show, you know, outwardly in terms of that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Calling someone dusty nowadays is a fighting word.
I have never heard somebody say, "You dusty girl." No, who have you ever heard say that?
Trust me.
Where do you go that you hear these things?
Apparently, he's going somewhere where you're not going.
Right, I know. You have something to tell me.
You need to keep better tabs on him.
I know. I need to. I need to put a tracker on his car.
Again. A tracker.
I'm kidding. Okay. So right. Next is me. And I'll ask Angel if he thinks that this fits me.
Okay.
So travel, wisdom, philosophy, higher education, law and religion, cross-cultural, relations, learning, and ethics.
Yes, all of them, including religion.
How so?
Because even though like you may or may not agree with all of it, the fascination about getting to know it and why is still there.
Well, yeah, I like to study it and understand it, but in no way, shape, or form do I believe it. I think it's just interesting to study the literature of it and how it forms and kind of like how it breaks off and how people kind of like write their own versions of it and so on and so forth. But I've never really been one to say, yes, I'm religious. When I was a lot younger, you know, thankfully my mom was pretty understanding, and I had told her when I was about like 12 or 13 that I wanted to explore different religions just to kind of see like, okay, so I grew up in a Christian household, that doesn't really fit with me. What else is there? So I did try to explore a lot of the other different religions and like learn about them, but just never really felt like that really, you know, matched with the way I believe and see things. Because I'm very much a science-based person. I need the data. I need the proof. I need to see that something's legitimate. I'm not going to have faith in nothing. That's kind of how I see it. But I feel like definitely that fits me. I love traveling just to experience and learn something new. I am constantly craving more education. I mean, even at work, I am always asking for additional projects and things to do. Just I can't remain stagnant. I constantly need to have something motivating me or inspiring me or enticing me to want to learn more.
That's interesting too, because I think it's almost like too, like pushing beyond the, see, because the thing with religion that is challenging for a lot of people is that it's fixed, you know, it has a fixed point of view, and then it requires a certain dogma and a certain doctrine, and you have to believe XYZ or you're out. And I think that people that have a wide reaching mind have trouble with that. And that's where I think it runs into a lot of trouble these days, and why it bangs up against science is because, but that's kind of orthodox traditional religion. Yeah, if you look at kind of more mystical stuff and a little bit more open-minded types of religion, generally speaking, like laying on the side of mysticism, it gets closer to like what I feel like, and I may or may not be making a good analogy here, but it feels to me like religion versus mysticism is like Newtonian physics versus quantum physics.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, that's a good example, because it's in ways connected, but still very different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're kind of out in a different realm when you're out in the quantum realm, and you're kind of out in a different realm when you're into mysticism, because mysticism is about your experiential kind of knowledge of the universe. It's not it's not like, oh, I read this book and someone had this experience, so I believe that's so. Mm-hmm. You're, you know, a mystic would be like, well, that's cool that they did that, how can I do that, you know? Yes. What I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's totally like a different point. Anyway, that's, I thought that was interesting. But okay, so
next is you.
Sounds like you definitely fit the Sagittarius, though.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I do fit a Sagittarius. I think I am the second decan. Yeah, I believe so. So we'll have to see what that says about me. So here we go into Jason. So Capricorn. We have career, long-term goals, structure, status, reputation, public image, masculinity, fathers, men's, experts, and fame.
Interesting.
Do you feel like that matches with you in some way?
In some ways, yes, very much. Yeah. It's interesting because, I mean, I've definitely like interested in all those areas of study and research, but also obviously, I mean, the fame thing, I mean, I was in Hollywood for 20 years, you know, working on entertainment stuff, and that was a big part of my life. So definitely that.
Yeah.
Fits. Some of this stuff though, it's kind of weird because like I said, I'm on the cusp of it. I have a lot of air sign qualities kind of, because I'm close to Aquarius, so I kind of get stuck up in my head a lot more than like true Capricorns that are really like focused on their career and money and like material stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's a little bit of a mix with me, so but yeah, definitely overall I fit those traits. Yeah,
I would say with the Capricorns I know, they're generally very structured and what they do and what they want. But I also do know that for those who are very much close to the cusp, I've always told people that are on the cusp to read both, and kind of like take both of those together, because it, you know, you very well could have a lot of air qualities that correlate with the Capricorn personality itself. So it just because you're still considered Capricorn deck in three doesn't mean you can't have the qualities of literally the next sign that you're like days away from.
Yeah, that makes sense. I need to read more about Aquarius, actually.
Yeah,
I'm going to do
that. Definitely.
That's a good
we're going into it right now. So this one is number 11. So this is for Aquarius. So we have group, friends, social awareness, humanitarianism, technology, hopes and wishes, and the future. Yeah, I would certainly say that really fits. They are very dedicated with their friends groups, very socially aware of how others perceive them and how they outwardly present themselves when they are around other individuals. In terms of technology, of the ones I know, I don't know if I could really say that I could match that with them, but
yeah.
To be fair, I also maybe just haven't met enough. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know the technology one, but all the one big characteristic of Aquarius is that always comes to mind is there this kind of like big picture thinking.
Totally.
Where it's like you can lose them. We talked about this, I think, in whenever we did the other segments of signs and all of that, where I enjoy fueling some of that conversation because it's very interesting to me, like the concepts and like these like big out of this world ideas, and but then after a while it's like, okay, let's get back down.
let's come back to earth.
Yeah. Jason, do you feel like that fits with you? Because you were just saying before we went into this one that like you'll often find yourself getting lost inside your head, and
yeah,
then you kind of just explain the bigger picture, kind of getting lost within it. Do you feel like that is a little bit of who you are?
Yes.
I think it's totally fair to kind of like put the two together.
So that abstract stuff that Angel is talking about, if I could live in that place, I would, I would stay there. So, you know, I have to like temper that with like bringing it back down to, okay, those are all great ideas, but like, what can we do today to make that happen? You know?
Yeah.
So for sure.
And it's great conversations, you know, like sitting by like a campfire or something.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But then after a while it's like, all right, that was good. Let's go back home.
Well, it's good. You know, I think it's good is like it gives like, so you have to have, you know, they have that saying in the Bible where there's no vision, the people perish. And it's like, if you don't have a vision for the future, for yourself and kind of as a culture, as people, as a group, as a family, whatever, it kind of like, you're kind of directionless, right? So that vision serves your like a compass, like I'm moving towards north, let's say. But at the same time, every single day you've got to take steps. You know, you can't just think about the vision, like, you know what I mean? You got to get off your ass and actually walk towards that area you're trying to get to. So I think that's the tension. It's between those two things. So I love it. Yeah. So Aquarius is the big picture. That makes sense.
Yeah, they're kind of just like explorers, you know, they go out and look at things and make commentary about, you know, what they saw.
They question a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what I've always liked about Aquarius is like, if I were to like, let's say, you know, Pluto is no longer a planet. Most people will be like, oh, wow, that's crazy. But I feel like an Aquarius would be like, why did that happen? Can you explain that? So they're very interested in understanding a lot of that, I would say.
Speaking of that, and I don't want to take a long side thing with it, but does Pluto still exert the same type of influences, even though it's not considered a planet? Is it still thought of in the same way, astrologically speaking?
Yeah, I would say so, because it is still part of our solar system, and it does still have a lot to do with like where you were born and that being matched up with it. The only reason it was declassified as a planet was because there's three things that scientists look at when they want to classify something as a planet. And the one thing that it didn't match was what's called clearing its neighborhood. And so what that means is Pluto has a lot of debris still around it. So a planet will generally, like Earth, as it Earth formed, its gravity sucked in a lot of that debris, formed the planet. And so outside of Earth, you don't see all these like rocks and dust and everything right around us. Whereas Pluto still has a lot of its dust and debris around it. So that means it didn't clear its neighborhood. And as we started to advance with telescopes that we have, like especially with the Hubble telescope and now James Webb, Pluto is very close to the Kuiper Belt, which is pretty much the, it's almost like a belt that literally surrounds our solar system. And they were able to peer through that, which is a lot of like rocks and asteroids and different things like that, and found a lot of other dwarf planets, much like Pluto. And then that's how they were able to see, okay, Pluto isn't a rarity. It's actually very common. And it has a lot to do with the fact that it's so far away. It's our last planet in our solar system. It's not being as heavily influenced by the sun as let's say like Earth, Mars, Venus, etc. So it just doesn't have that ability to fully form as a planet. So that's why it was declassified as a planet, but it's still part of our solar system. It does still have an influence scientifically speaking. And I would say astronomy speaking or astrology speaking as well.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So that is, so Aquarius is what it's at 11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I think what is this Pisces, the last one?
Yes.
Yeah. So number 12 is Pisces. And I got a lot of those in my life. So endings, healing, closure, spirituality, solitude, karma, old age, afterlife, what's hidden, limiting beliefs, and subconscious. Yes. Every Pisces I know is very much into spirituality or some form of like self-help, self-care, self-love. They're very, very in touch with their emotions. They tend to display a lot of outwardly affection towards those that they care deeply about. I will say that they usually too are prone to being kind of lost within their own emotions, to where it kind of makes it hard for them to make clear and accurate decisions in terms of what they want to do in their life, because their emotions can kind of persuade that to go in a different direction. So they're also heavily influenced by the relationships that they're in. That could be a really good friend or, you know, a partner. So they will kind of tend to lose themselves in those individuals due to their emotions just being so intense.
Yeah, I found that with my Pisces friends as well and family. Interesting. All right, so that is the wheel. Let me ask you this. I don't want to go way beyond the scope, but so those different houses, those astrological houses then, so when we apply those to our own natal chart, right, do those houses pertain then to those parts of our lives that the signs govern? Is that how that works? So for example, in my chart, it's going to be the same thing, right? So one is going to be Aries. So that's going to govern like Aries type qualities and Aries kind of zones or whatever, as it were, in my life, right? Is that how that works?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's how that corresponds, right?
And that too, also kind of like leading from that, is a lot of where, like, when you get a chart done, they get your rising and what is the other one? I'm sorry. You have like your rising sign and then your, what's the other one called?
Is there ascending or wait, ascending?
Yeah. Descending? That's kind of where they get that. So, you know, you could be born as a Capricorn, but based on the chart and where you were, you could also, your moon or like your sun, your rising could have a little bit of like an Aries characteristic with it. And then it breaks it down even more by saying, like, you know, let's say you're a Capricorn decan 3, but you could have Aries decan 1, little bit of the characteristics mixed in with that. So that is kind of like where they get a lot of that.
Okay. Very cool. Well, that's a great overview. Thank you so much. That's awesome. That helps me to understand that more. And now I didn't really. Because I was looking at my own birth chart. I don't know if I was saying that on the show or if we talked about that before we started recording, but I pulled out the birth chart that I got years ago. And I was kind of, because I'm doing this new type of meditation, and it actually has, it's interesting because it says that, and I'm trying to test this, it talks about how your inner, so you kind of work with an inner guide, an inner spiritual guide, basically, and it's connected to your ninth house for some reason. I have not gotten far enough in this book to figure out why that is, but apparently the appearance of this particular spirit guide in your own kind of imagination, in your own inner world, is supposed to correspond with your ninth house in some fashion. I haven't got to the part. I'll talk more about that when I get to it. It's kind of an interesting thing. So I was kind of wondering about that. So the ninth house again is is which sign? That would be
it's right after Scorpio, so
that's me.
Sag, yeah.
Aquarius. So that's your area. So that's like the philosophical.
I think another interesting thing that we could do, maybe the next podcast that we have, is I do have where it breaks down specifically like what each house is. So like, as an example, just kind of going over it, like the ninth house is what you were just specifying. Yeah. That would cover like the higher mind, expansion, international long distance traveling, foreign languages, inspiration, optimism, and so on and so forth. So we can kind of maybe like brush on that as well, because then that will kind of tie into what we just briefly went over in terms of like, you know, 1 through 12 and like what that
means. Yeah, perfect. So I'm excited we were able to do that though, because it kind of, I don't know, for some reason when you were talking about that, it sort of like clicked into place, and now I'm kind of understanding how things move and how they're connected and so on. So
it would be interesting also to just discuss why you chose this new meditation, because as I'm looking at it, it makes sense for what I kind of feel, but I don't have any more time. I have an appointment.
Okay. Right now,
but I would like to go into that, because it would be really cool. I can see how, just kind of by reading what the ninth house represents, I can see why that would be beneficial for you at this juncture in your life.
Totally.
That's a great cliffhanger. So
all right, there we go.
I hope
tune in next week, folks.
Yes, exactly. Thank you guys for joining.
Thank you.
At Angel on the Eighth Day, at AS0Trance, at Cosmic Eye Tarot. We're here every week with a new episode, and check us out on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. We do our live readings on TikTok. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. All right.